Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good, 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 good. Good to see each and every one of you here. You know, it's a great thing when you can come into the house of the Lord and you can worship Him and you can lay hands on folks and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to show up. God's going to show up. That's the thing. And that's something that we never, ever want to forget, that we serve a living God. My God's not dead. He's still alive. See? And that is the hope and the joy that we have, is that we serve a living God that's concerned about us, that loves us. He loves us so much that He would demonstrate that love every day. Every day you wake up, every blessing that comes from the Lord, it's an amazing thing. I never, ever want any of us to lose sight of that. Man. Now, none of that's in my message. That's just bonus. That's bonus. It's a little bonus Jesus. Now, what we've been talking about, over the last several weeks we've been talking about vision. You know, and I want to start out, you know, we've been talking about what is vision. Vision is a picture or an idea you have in your mind of what you want things to look like. You know, we've talked about the vision for our church, what we want our church to look like, how we want it to look like a growing group of believers that's being equipped to do what? To be a light in a dark world. And see, we've talked about having a vision for our family. There's certain things in our families that we want to see happen, and it's having that vision. Because see, vision is important, like we've been talking over and over. Because as Proverbs 29:18 says, without the vision, the people perish. See, that's been our theme throughout these last several weeks, is without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, you're going to go back into the same old stuff that you've been doing. You're going to have the same old generic life, the same trials, troubles, and tribulations that you've always had. But God wants us to have more. He wants us to break free from that, to have a vision of something more, to not settle for just enough, to not settle for an okay, but to push on to the land of Canaan, like we talked about last week with Abram. Don't settle for halfway. Now, all those things are great. You know, the vision for our church, the vision for our family. But the deal with those things is those are all inward things. You know, those are all us looking back at ourselves and figuring out what can we do different? How can we be different? But the last step, the last set of vision that I want to talk about is the vision for our community. A vision outward into our community. Because the gospel isn't just these four walls. The gospel isn't just right here, right now. It goes out. The gospel is meant to go out. Because in Matthew 28:19, he says, Go, therefore, into all the nations. He didn't say, sit down in a pew and preach, or sit down in a pew and love me. He said, go, therefore. Go into the community. Go out. So the question is, What do we want our community to look like? What do we want our city to look like in this coming year, in the next decade? What do we want our town to look like? I'll tell you what I want it to look like. I want it to be healthy. I want it to be growing, full of love, full of hope. And most importantly, you know what I want? I want it to be drug-free. I want it to be drug-free because I've seen the effects of drugs. We've got legal ones. We got illegal ones. They're all bad. They all can be abused. They can all cause problems. See, that's the vision we want to have for our community. But the problem is, what does it look like now? What does it look like today? Today, there's struggle. I look out and I see struggle. Today, I look out and I see drugs. I see domestic issues. People beating on each other. People stealing from each other. See, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about what are the last days. The last days, he says, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. That's today. For people will love only themselves and their money. See, they'll only love themselves and their money. What I have is mine. And for many people, what I have is mine and what you have is mine. Now, and they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. See, that is our community now. That is our community. That is the people that we see when we go to Walmart, when we go to Dollar General, when we go over to CV's and we get some chicken from Sister Kayla. We see these type of people. Not Sister Kayla, the other people. Okay, let's get that right. All right? But see, we see that we are living in the last days. That is what we look like. But the problem is, how did we get there? How did the night grow so dark? The number one reason is because sin is fun. Sin is fun for a moment. Sin is fun for a little while until it begins to destroy your life. Destroy everything that you have. Destroy everything that you could hold and touch. It begins to destroy that. How did we get for it to be so dark? Men begin to follow their hearts. People begin to follow their hearts, follow what feels good in today. See, in Jeremiah 17:19, what does it say? It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. The human heart is deceitful, and it's what? It's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. But here's the deal. This didn't happen overnight. Our world didn't become this way in a day. It didn't happen in a week. It happened over a period of time. With every choice that was made by the people in the community, every choice echoes throughout eternity. See, that's been a theme too. What we've been talking about. Every choice that we make, every decision has an echo throughout eternity. And we got where we are with a slow fade. A slow fade into darkness. But how do we change our community? How do we have a vision for the world? How can we change Paris, Arkansas, and Logan County? How can we begin to change those things? The first thing we've got to do is begin to look outward. We begin to look outward. Go beyond the four walls of the church. We went to a training yesterday, a thing with a group called Convoy of Hope, and it's Rural Compassion. It's this group that helps equip like churches and other organizations to be a blessing, to move out beyond their walls. And there was something, there was a lot of things that they said there that really impacted me, but there was one thing that really hit me was this. Christians live like Christians by serving their community. See, I can't get up here and say I love God without doing something for someone else. We can't come in here and praise a living God and say, I love you, Lord, but turn our back on our brother. Turn our back on other people. Because see, there's a great harvest out there. There's a great harvest of people. And these are the last days. So what do we need to do? We need to shine our light out. Look over at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. In the New Living Translation, it says this. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He's saying, we are the light. We're up on a hill shining out for all to see. And here's the thing. We're up on that hill, so the light goes farther. Not because we're better than someone else. Because many times, you know, you want to get to the top because you're better than everybody else. No, with this, I want to get to the top so I can shine farther. Because I'm no better than anyone else out there. I'm still a sinner saved by the grace of God. See, Matthew 5:14, you are a light, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Okay, think about this. It says this for a reason. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. You see, when you light a light and you put a basket over it, what does it do? That basket limits the light. It limits how far it can reach out. See, instead, we're supposed to put it up on a pedestal to light the whole house. The house there is to light everything, light the community, light our house and the community around us. Because see, so many times we put a basket on our light. See, God wants us to be a light to shine out, but many times subconsciously or consciously, we put a basket over ourselves. We limit the light. We limit God's effectiveness because we refuse to let the light shine fully. Get that. Okay, we limit the light. Sometimes we do it consciously. We say, you know what? I don't want to minister to those people. I don't like those people. Anybody ever said that? I have. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to lay hands on that person because they smell. Been there. Done that. I don't want to love that person because they don't look like me. Because they don't look like me. Too many times I have done that. I've limited the light in my own life because there's people that I judge ahead of time just by what they look like. There's people that don't look like me. See, sometimes that's consciously. Sometimes it's unconsciously. You just do it. You give that cold shoulder to somebody. You're like, ooh, I don't know if I like them. I'm going to stay over here. No. See, it's all putting a basket on our light. And sometimes we want to put that basket on our light because we want to hoard all the blessings of God for ourselves. You ever thought about that? I want all the blessings. Makes me think of a movie that I watched. It was I think it was old when I was growing up, but it was just, it's based on a book. The book is it Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The movie. There's a character in there. Her name is Veruca Salt. Anybody remember the movie? What does she want? She wanted it all, and she wanted it all right now. Daddy, I want a golden goose. See, many times we talk to God and say, I want the golden goose. I want this. I want this. And I don't want to share. See? That's limiting the light. In Exodus 16, when the children of Israel were traveling through the desert, God provided them manna from heaven, right? It talks all about it in Exodus 16. And when Moses told the people, okay, God's going to bring this manna. You go get enough for you, just enough for you, nothing else. Some of the people did it. Some of the people didn't do it. In Exodus 16:20, it talks about the people that hoarded up those blessings. They hoarded up that manna, and it became full of maggots. It became full of worms. It became not a blessing, but a death. It wasn't a good thing any longer when those blessings were hoarded up. See, that is called limiting the light. But God wants us to do what? Light the lamp, place it on the stand for all to see. In verse Matthew 5:16, for this result, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. He says, let your good deeds demonstrate the light. That's how you share the light. You demonstrate it. You give it out. You have to give it away. Because that's how God showed us love. He gave it away. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love. God demonstrated his great love by sending Christ. So if God is willing to demonstrate his love to us by giving the most precious thing that he had, how much more are we supposed to do for him? How much more are we supposed to give the light away? Because the harvest is truly great. See, I want to have a strong church. I want to have a strong family that results in a strong community. See, it's demonstrating that love. How do we demonstrate that love? We get out. We go. We do. We have to plant a seed. We have to give it away. Amen. I want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. In the New Living Translation, it says this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. See, many times we look at that and we say, we use that when it's time to give in the offering or collect money for something. See, but that's not all that it's talking about. It's talking about giving of yourself. giving of us. And if we're only willing to give a little, we're going to get a little back. But with the law of God, the more you give, the more you get back. See, it goes on to talk about each of you must decide in your hearts how much to give. You have to decide within yourself, how much am I willing to give for the cause of Christ? How much of me am I willing to give? Verse 7, it says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a giver that says, I want to give everything I have, every part of me to others. And I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. Not because someone made me. Not because Pastor Jeremy or Pastor Kelly got up here and gave me a good guilt trip how we should love other people. But no, I'm giving of myself because, just because. See, here's the key in verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. When you give everything that you have, God is going to provide everything that you need. See, when you give it away, God will always make sure that you're taken care of. Then you, goes on to talk about, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. See, if you're tight-fisted with yourself, with your time, with your money, you're not going to get anywhere. God wants us to shine a light out. Note that theme. Shine the light out. And it goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, and as the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. See, I don't want to be remembered for a good message. I don't want to be remembered because I could speak well or I could pray well or I could sing well. I want to be remembered because I gave well. I gave well. I gave myself well, wholeheartedly. That's what God is calling us to do. That is how we're going to change our community, is to give, to love, to not hoard the light. Verse 10, it goes on to say, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. See, the more seed you sow, the greater the harvest. The more we give out as a church and as individuals, the greater the reaping of that harvest is going to be. Because like it says in Luke 10:2, the harvest is great. When we look out in our community, the harvest is great. So we need to get it. We need to grab it. We need to grab hold of everyone in our community. But here's the thing. Sometimes, as we go forward and we do this, I don't want us to get discouraged when we don't see the fruit immediately. Because when you plant a seed, you don't get a tree the next day. You've got to what? You've got to continue to water the seed. You've got to continue to put things into it. It's the same way with the people that we want to reach. We can sow that seed of love, but we don't stop at sowing the seed. We continue to water the seed. You don't just hand a, what is it? If you want to feed a man, you give him a fish. you want to, what is it? Feed him for a lifetime. You teach him to fish. See, that's the thing. God wants us to sow seed and sow it out to all of the ground around us. But he wants us to keep watering. Because some seeds have been planted years ago. And we're continuing to water it. And I fully believe that we're going to see some of those seeds that we've planted over the years to grow and to flourish in this year. See, that's the promise that we have. That's what I feel like God wants to do in our church, in our family, in our community. Because we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. I've heard that my entire life. I've heard it for the last 37 years. And I've never believed it until recently. I've never fully believed it until recently. Because you hear something sometimes over and over. You're like, yeah, I've heard that. But see, it's real. It's real. And the challenge for us is not to go to heaven, but to drag as many people with us as we can. So, what can we do? How can we show love? That is our challenge. That's the challenge I want to give to you guys, is how can we show love in our community? What can we do to demonstrate God's love? See, I don't have all the answers. I'm a smart guy. I don't have all the answers. There's needs that you guys see that maybe I don't. See, if we're going to reach this lost and dying world, there's a quote from a big pastor named Tommy Barnett out of Arizona. He said these words, and they said it over and over in this meeting that we were at yesterday, was find the need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. That is our challenge for 2020 for our community. Let us find the need and fill it. Physical, emotional, whatever, money, whatever need it is, let us find the need because it's out there. It's out there. We just got to look. Find our need. Fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. That's our challenge. How can we find those needs? Now, if you can think of anything, don't tell me now. Come to us after church. Begin to think about these things. Because the greatest ideas come from you guys. The greatest ideas, some of the greatest outreaches of Christ have not always come from a pulpit. But it's come from a pew. God has called each and every one of us to do something. What is your something? What is your something? That's the challenge. Now, who wants to do something? Who wants to do something? Let's stand up. Let's raise our hands. We're going to say the simple. We're going to do the simple prayer of God, please open our hearts, open our minds to you. Help open our eyes to the needs that are around us. Help give us the ideas of how to reach out into our community. Help us find ways to be a healer to the hurting. Help us to find the needs and help us to fill those needs, God. Help us impact our community, not for the cause of Parish Christian Center, but for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.